Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Canadian Football Hall of Fame reporter Darrell Davis, and Grey Cup champion Belton Johnson, an hour away from kickoff from the Riders and the Argonauts at Mosaic Stadium. 7 o'clock is the start time, TSN, as the Riders don their obsidian green jerseys for the second time this season. The last time was a loss to the Calgary Stampeders. But right now, we're going to tell you who's going to eat.
Who's gonna eat with Belton Johnson?
Presented by Sherwood Co-op.
What do you think that is?
Each and every week here on the Green Zone pregame show, we look at the matchups for the Riders and their opponents, and then look at the favorable matchups that could allow some players to have a big game in a segment we call Who's Gonna Eat, and we wrap it up with the tailgating tip with Sherwood Co-op. The hint this week was cornbread from Belton Johnson. I can't wait for what's up next. But first, who's going to eat, Belton Johnson? Where are we starting?
Let's start with the Rider defense there, Jamie.
Rough Riders defense. Who do you like tonight to star for the Rough Riders defense?
I think I'm going to go Baldonado.
Habakkuk. Yeah. Baldonado for Belton Johnson. I like the way he plays.
Yeah.
He's back there a lot. Yeah. Not a lot of sacks, but pressure disruptions is what Corey Mace is looking for.
Not a great interview, apparently, according to Britton Gray.
Yeah, it was a little short a couple of weeks ago. Now, who do you got, Darrell Davis, on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, I always cheer for good interviews. Antoine Brooks Jr. is a great interview. But also last week with those linebackers, three interceptions, he returned 185 yards for a touchdown, a huge play for them. I think they're still going to try to exploit him a little bit. But if they can get into that secondary, they're in trouble. The Riders might be in a little bit of trouble, but I think that they're also going to test Brooks, and I think he'll respond.
C.J. Revis, his second game at safety. I expect to see more from him. Of course, with younger quarterbacks, maybe throwing it up a bit too much, he can just sit back there and maybe get one into his hands today. I'm going to go with C.J. Revis on who's going to eat. Where do you want to go to next, Belton?
Let's go to Argos defense there, James.
Argos defense, who's going to eat today?
I'm going to go with Mr. Brendan Dozier. Because he's going to have to come up, make some tackles.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking? I think A.J. Olette, well, maybe I shouldn't spoil the next go-to here when we go to the Riders offense. But, yeah, I think A.J. Olette's getting a heavy dose today for the Rough Riders.
No Wynton McManus for these guys, right?
Right.
That Argonauts roster, that depth chart, oh, boy.
It's rough, eh?
There's not many familiar names, although I have liked their safety all year. Number 20, Derek Sluka.
Derek Sluka.
I'm going with him.
Of course, he jumped onto the scene with those two touchdown returns against Ottawa way back in the early part of the season. I am going to go with the guy who is replacing Wynton McManus as a starting middle linebacker because he's just going to have to be so darn busy for the Toronto Argonauts. Number 35 is his name. Isaac Darkangelo is who I'm going to pick for the Argos defense. Belton, where do you want to head to next?
Let's stay with the Argos offense there, Jamie.
They're all hurt, too. All those receivers you like.
Just hold on.
Give me Harulahu.
You like kickers? What's going on here?
Are you serious?
I don't know, man. I think I'm serious.
And by the way, it's Hirulahu.
Hirulahu.
There you go.
Put it down, Jamie.
You're going with the kicker?
Hey, they're people, Jamie.
Oh, right? Oh boy. Oh, my goodness.
There's a promo running all week of you goes, I'm tired of talking about the kicker. Liram Hirulahu is Belton's. He's going to eat. So apparently not a lot of points coming from the Argos today in the opinion of Belton Johnson.
Jeez. Okay. I like their slot back. Number 10, Kevin Mattel.
Kevin Mattel as good. Thanks, guys. Jake Herslow, the former Rough Rider, was at camp. Him. We talked about him at camp. Wait a couple of years. This kid,
cut him.
And then they cut him. He ended up in Toronto, and he scored a bunch of touchdowns for the Argonauts. All right. The final one, is the Rough Riders offense. Belton, who's eating for the Riders offense today?
Schaefer Baker.
Kean Schaefer Baker, his second game back. Why? Game.
Don't you always pick him?
Not always.
Almost always.
Hey, it's a home game tonight. He's got to set it off, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Jamie, and I'm taking AJ, who led right out from under you. If that's,
I guess
you
could have
picked earlier.
No, it's Belton gets to start. You get to go second. Well, I get the scraps.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, fine. I'll go Sam Amelis.
That's who you like anyway. That's usually what he
you guys have been taking him before me in the last couple of weeks or this season when he's been in the lineup. So I'm going back to the other Canadian receiver, his third game back as Sam Amelis, because Hood is on that side. They have a couple of new DBs. Maybe Trevor Harris hits a couple deep tonight for the Rough Riders. So that's who do we think is eating. Now we get to find out what we're eating with Belton Johnson's tailgating tip. Get your pens, pencils, paper ready for the recipe for Belton Johnson cornbread. What do you got, Belton?
So what we have today for you, fellas, is Southern Mexican cornbread.
Southern Mexican cornbread. And, let's go.
And I'm telling this cornbread eats like a meal. Like,
Ooh.
It's got bacon in it, too.
Bacon? Oh, cornbread. Yeah. How great is that?
So normally, you know, with my cornbread and everything is cornmeal, flour, egg, and all that, mm-hmm. right? But today I use a gluten-free mix cornbread here for Jamie. And same thing, right? Just use that mix and everything. And I add cream corn to it, so it does have cream. Really? It eats like a meal, fella. Yeah. Add the cream corn to it. Also added in, you know, milk, eggs, and all that as well. And it's one bowl. That's all I need, Daryl. Wow. One bowl.
Okay. I like one bowl of cooking, man. That's my style.
And so had to fry up the bacon as well. Yeah. And there's drippings from the bacon, right?
Okay, yeah.
So we use some of the drippings in the cornbread mix there, right? Got the bacon drippings. By drippings, I'm talking about the grease.
Okay, Belton, hurry up. I need to open this thing and eat. Oh, my goodness.
So we got the drippings in there. Yeah. We also put in cheddar cheese, right?
Ooh, all right.
Smoked onions, smoked jalapenos also in there, right?
Jalapenos give it a little kick because cornbread needs a little kick, right?
I love it there. And get that all mixed up and everything, right? You pour it in a 9x9 pan or whatnot. And remember the bacon, right? We just used the dripping earlier.
Drippings, yeah.
Now we're going to sprinkle the bacon all around there, right?
I'm going to have to host. Jamie's busy eating.
And then we pop it in the oven, bake it for about 350 degrees or there. About 45 to 60 minutes.
Hi, Jamie.
And then it comes out bubbling hot, Daryl. Nice. Got to let it cool. And guess what, Daryl?
It's eating time.
And I just want to give a shout out to my good friend, Bonnie. Mm-hmm. It's her recipe. And I remember the first time I ate this cornbread, I didn't eat nothing else with it. I almost ate the whole freaking pan by myself. She asked, did I say the kids, the wife, any of them song? Oh, I didn't realize I was supposed to.
Southern Mexican cornbread.
There you go.
With the bacon drippings.
It's a meal.
He said it's eating time. I'm already eating.
All right.
Here on the Green Zone, the pregame show. More to come. After I'm done eating on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Sorry, still eating. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show.
Best cornbread ever, man.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. Southern Mexican cornbread.
Uh-huh. Corn in the cornbread, too.
It's a meal, right?
We really podcast all our pregame shows. If you miss any of Belton's recipes, you can go back, podcast section. This is a recipe you need to give a shot.
Jamie's going to replay this one. Belton, maybe one bowl cooking, too.
Did y'all say Britain's on or what?
No, Britain. Too bad. It's a home game. Britain goes straight to the stadium.
Oh, that's right.
It's going to be cold by the time he gets here. You can't have that.
No, you can't have that.
It'll be a waste. But we continue here on the Green Zone pregame show ahead of the Riders and the Argonauts. Let's get to the coach's chair.
Let's go!
He's got the answers to the questions you want to know about the green and white. Now,
the Coach's Chair.
Yes, each and every week we hear from head coach Corey Mace. And ahead of this game, he was talked about the mood of the team with a chance to clinch the West Division.
I think everybody's just kind of locked in, man. I just, I'd be lying to you if I told you it was super different from any other week for us, to be honest. It's, we saw a lot of stuff on tape that we just want to be better at. So we get an opportunity to do it this week, which is awesome.
Are you glad it's not super different? Is that a good sign that the MO has not changed appreciably given the other circumstances?
I think so. You know, from not only myself, I think the staff and, you know, leadership group of the team, everybody's aligned with just kind of our order of operation. And you love that the guys are, you know, locked in on that. So I think it's a good thing. You know, I know that they'll hear all the other stuff, that all the other things that are up for stake, you know, no matter what game it was, you know, there's always outside noise that I know the guys, you know, they hear. But for the most part, everybody's just looking to go execute and try to win a game, man.
He said, and I'll quote him, he said, "We're not going to take anybody lightly." And I said, "Well, do you have to talk about that?" And he said, "No." Your reaction to that thought process, that you don't have to discuss or worry about taking a team lightly?
Yeah, well, I mean, we know what it is, man. It's this is a tight league. I don't care who you're playing. You know, certain matchups, certain teams match up differently versus each other. You know, and we've seen that this year for ourselves. But, you know, we just try so hard to focus on the details of what we have to do. We can control that. So you always respect the opponent. Everybody's a professional out there. A lot of really good, obviously, coaches around the league as well. So if you don't come with it, man, you just nothing needs to be talked about. We understood that from the jump.
Corey, the ultimate goal, win the Grey Cup. I'm sure one of those sub-goals was to win the West Division and clinch first place. So what's it mean to this group to be this close to doing that?
You know, it's cool that we're in a situation that can lead to one thing to the next, but you know, we shared it this morning. Like, we just stick to our process of trying to win each week. The rest of it kind of just takes care of itself. So, you know, would it be really nice, obviously, I think, for our organization, our guys, and the fan base to host a Western final? Yeah, I'm sure. But what's more important right now is going undefeated this week. And that's honestly how everybody feels, man.
How much of a challenge is it to prepare for a quarterback that has such limited film for you to look at?
You know, I think maybe from this year, you know, he's got essentially two full games under his belt. You know, you look at some stuff from previous places that he's been. But you get a decent beat on what, you know, he's about and the things that he's good at. You know, how RD's calling stuff up for him. Say what you want. I mean, they still got really good receiving core, so he's got options, man. And you know, if given time, truthfully, he can sit back there and he can rip it. So and he can move with his legs too. So a lot of things that you know, we've seen throughout the season, but it still comes down to details and execution defensively to make it tough on any quarterback.
That is head coach Corey Mace. But there was one other thing we needed to talk and hear from Corey Mace about. Despite what Belton said on our pregame promo all week long about not wanting to talk about the kickers, well, we do need to talk about the kickers because they signed an American kicker, Michael Hughes, a all-star from NCAA, game winner, 54 yards when he was in college, Appalachian State. And here's what Corey Mace said about the plan for their kickers and why they settled on Brett this week and how things might look going forward.
We let them all swing this week, and ultimately we went with the guy that we feel gives us the best chance and allows us also to put together a roster that we feel puts us in best position to win. You know, I know the optics of it, you know, but Brett, man, you know, if we could put them in good situations, and also, you know, maybe me not throwing them out there on 55s and 57s and stuff like that. You know, he's excellent in his kickoffs, amongst the top in the league, which helps our team as well. There's a lot of things that went into the decision, but this is how we're rolling this week. And each week we'll let him swing, and we'll see how we pan through the rest of the season.
There is head coach Corey Mace on Brett Lawther. Give best chance to win, but also said best roster.
They need a Canadian. They need to have a Canadian on the roster because they're running out of Americans who can play. Mm-hmm. So
if they put the American on, they're going to have to go with Exume as the backup DB.
That's good advice. So don't do that.
It allows Lyon to be the backup DB instead of Exume this week.
And I think that's a much stronger spot. Exume didn't play very well against the Montreal Alouettes. McLeod Bethel-Thompson shredded him. So they had to strengthen themselves a little bit. And if it's an American kicker, a Canadian kicker, and an American who's never kicked in the CFL showing up, you don't just walk in and kick in the Canadian Football League. I'm sorry. It's not that easy. Brett Lawther has at least been around. Campbell Fair, I keep saying, why is he even on the practice roster? You may as well just clear some space because nobody has any faith in him. So why do you keep him around to make it a three-part competition? That doesn't make sense to me. But Brett Lawther, obviously, in terms of career, can handle it. We'll see how he does.
Why is this even a problem, man? This should not be a problem. We should not be thinking about the kicking game.
Now with three games left.
Late in the season. Shame on them. I'm sorry. This should have been dealt with 8 weeks ago.
You're right.
And we're talking about the freaking kickers, man. Really?
Again, still.
Again.
Which means.
Let me be quiet, Jamie.
No, you can't. We got a bold kickers. Prediction question for like the fifth week in a row.
Okay.
How does Brett Lawther do today?
Oh, boy.
And now, makes and misses count point afters, all right? Well, all the kicks included in this. How many makes, how many misses, his longest make, his shortest miss? We were so wrong about Campbell Fair last week, Belton Johnson. Boy. We were like, no, he's not going to miss a kick, and he didn't make a kick.
They didn't even let him kick at the end.
My confidence is shaken.
What's your, go ahead. I'll say Brett Lawther's 4 for 5 today.
So he's going to make 4.
Yeah.
He's going to miss 1. His longest make.
Longest make will be 44.
Shortest miss.
Didn't I say 44? I did the same last time, so that's what I'm going to do. 44.
I don't know. I'm going to say, you want to know the makes?
And and point afters count.
Oh, point afters too.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm going to go 3 or 4.
So he'll make 3, and you're also going to miss 1.
He'll miss 1. I've given him too many chances.
That's not a lot of points here for touchdowns or field goals.
I'm thinking if Belton Johnson is the head coach, I'm not kicking the freaking ball.
Oh, okay.
I'm going for 2. Okay.
Okay.
I'm giving benefit of the doubt here.
Longest make?
What did Daryl say?
44.
Oh, I was going to say 45. I'll stretch it to 46. How about that, Jack?
46. His shortest miss.
It'd be an extra point, couldn't it?
So 32?
Yeah.
All right.
I'd
have lost my confidence, man. Mm-hmm.
I think he's gonna make 5.
Or 5.
Come miss on, 0. He's not he's not gonna miss today. Not missing.
Okay,
5 kicks, his longest make, I'll go to 48. there you have it. We'll see how Brett Lawther does. He's not missing.
All right.
I'm
not confident, man.
I don't blame you.
Jamie, you've asked
how do you
this.
Think his teammates
he's
feel,
asked that
right?
question a couple times this year. Oh, yeah, Brett, he's going to nail him. And every time I come back, I get angry because he missed the freaking kick, cost me points.
You're right, Costa
Bill
Belton. It is mind blowing that we are in week 19 and they have not. Man. Figured this out. They have not brought in a guy to Michael Hughes might be the guy. But why did it take so late for him to come in here? It's going to be easy. If Tavon Campbell comes back, that's easy. Tavon Campbell's on.
Yep.
You could take the American DB off and
Nelson
the American.
I'm done.
Well,
with
he comes up,
if he comes back.
Talk about something else. Kickers, I'm done. Okay.
We'll hear from Philippe Gagnon, offensive Larry Go. We'll do an offensive line interview for Belton Johnson coming up for Britton Graves player profile with his second start back in the lineup today for the Rough Riders around the Canadian Football League. And Joe Robustelli is back in the lineup. We'll hear from him during roster check ahead of kickoff in about a half an hour. The Riders and the Argos at Mosaic Stadium, a win, and they clinch first place tonight in the West Division. This is 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with you on this Friday night. Yeah, Friday night football at Mosaic Stadium as the Rough Riders take on the Toronto Argonauts. We disagree a little bit on the importance of this game. Belton and I are like, finish it off.
Yep.
Daryl's a little, you're a little mad.
Oh, whatever. there are some important games.
You're like, they're going to clinch first anyway.
Somewhere along the line, they're going to, and then maybe this is a team, but this isn't, you know, at the beginning of the year, you're looking at this matchup saying, wow, the defending Grey Cup champions, Chad Kelly will be there for everybody to boo, and now they got nobody left. It's just, it's a shadow of the Argonauts. It's amazing how far they have fallen in one season, and the Rough Riders are on their way up, but still need to prove something. So, I don't know. Maybe I just, the game seemed to be big early in the season, and now it's just it's kind of a walkover. It's a whole bunch of guys on both sides that we've never even heard of too. So
I just don't like all this guarantee talk.
I didn't guarantee anything.
Locker and Evan Bray and Greg Morgan, they're all like Justin Black guarantee. Oh yeah, they're gonna walk over these guys. No problem.
I'm sure Trevor Harris heard that. So we.
Well, there's the question. If they win, how many games does Trevor Harris play in the final 2 weeks? None?
He can rest.
None? You're not going to put him in at all?
Maybe get a quarter or something, but let that arm rest. You've done your job. You got first place. You got it. If, you know.
He wore down his arm this year. You're right. He's worn down himself. You're right. So he needs some time off.
I think so.
That's why I was like, just win this, and then you don't have to worry about it, and you can
I'd still play in that last game, especially if they get a bye. You got to play them against BC, right?
I don't like the idea of not playing before that bye week.
Mm-hmm. He's got to have some
bye weeks
there.
Are not.
This team's not great after bye weeks,
they're
right?
They're not.
Nope. Wait, what's happened after bye weeks?
I don't want to even talk about it.
Oh, man. Yeah. A couple of losses. They've won once, though, right? They've had three byes, and they're 1-2. So, so maybe the bye is not what they need, but that's always part of the discussion, too. So how often does the winner of the semifinal come out and keep going? We could check the numbers, but it does happen. It's not as if the bye week is a magical path into the Grey Cup.
No. Well, it wasn't last year for the Montreal Alouettes, right? It was the Toronto Argonauts who walked in there and beat the Alouettes in Montreal in that East Final. Around the Canadian Football League, of course, it's not the only one with playoff implications, as the Hamilton Tiger Cats can, yes, they can, clinch first place with a win tomorrow against the Calgary Stampeders, which would render the Alouettes-Ottawa game meaningless on Thanksgiving Monday, because Montreal will be locked into second place if Hamilton clinches tomorrow. And if the Riders do lose and Hamilton wins over Calgary, that will also clinch first for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers can also clinch a postseason berth once again. All they need to do is beat the Edmonton Elks, and the Calgary Stampeders can also clinch, but they need to win and have Edmonton lose this weekend to clinch a playoff berth. As there's a look around the Canadian Football League. But somebody came on the Green Zone earlier this week, Daryl Davis, that you might recognize. His name is Chris Cuthbert, and he joined us for a chat about the NHL season, of course. But when Chris was on, I was like, I got to ask him about the rule changes around the Canadian Football League, as all the Grey Cups he called over his time. And he made it clear, when it comes to his boss, his former boss at TSN, Stuart Johnston, who's the commissioner now of the CFL, that maybe he's not fully on board with what's going on in Canada.
I'm a big fan of my former boss, but I disagree with him on this. I'm a 55-yard line guy. There was a great deal of fanfare, and I'm not sure any of these rule changes are going to sell one more ticket. It had people talking CFL for a week in areas that they don't usually talk Canadian football. But I think if you are eroding the unique qualities of the CFL, you're doing damage to the game long term. The only long game I see is that this paves the way for U.S. expansion, and I think we've been there before.
So, is he right?
U.S. expansion, it's a possibility. I don't have a problem with it. If they need a 10th team in this league, and if it's going to be Portland or it's going to be Halifax, I don't care. This just gives them a better chance of filling a building, of putting their state, their size field into a stadium. Yeah. If you keep the rules weren't, yes, they were tinkered with, but these are the rules. The rule changes were all complaints from fans. That's what everybody seems to forget. These are the complaints that lots of fans had about this, about the league. They changed the rules. They changed the, moved the goalposts to the back of the end zone. Great moves that they made, right? And the other stuff went hand in hand with it. Yep. But the game of Canadian football hasn't changed. It's been tinkered with, and they're going to tinker with it forever and ever. That's okay. So if it means they're going to add a 10th team and it's in Portland or someplace like that, I can live with that. You know, the, mm-hmm. it's still going to be the great Canadian game of football.
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, especially with the younger fans, right? Like, they're so used to seeing NFL and seeing that type of play. I'm okay with the field changes and everything. It's football at the end of the day in my books. Mm-hmm. I watch the NFL. I watch the CFL. I'm watching it all, right?
I am a little bit worried about does the uniqueness matter that when you turn on a CFL game, you know it's CFL.
Yep.
And if they go way more looking like the NFL, people just go, oh, I watch this every Sunday, and it's better ball. So what's the point of watching this now? Although I'm also of the opinion it's still the Tiger Cats, it's still the Stamps, it's still the Bombers still versus Canadian the Riders players. On Labor Day. There's still Canadian players.
Still man still, in motion. Still 12 stuff. Players on the ball. Still a deeper end zone. It's still got all that stuff. Yeah. 1 yard off, yeah. So there's so many things that are still, Jamie, you could still turn it on, and it looks unique. Just watch a formation. As soon as there's guys moving, you're saying, I'm watching the CFL, right? And as Belton says, 1 yard off the line of scrimmage. You don't have to see the 55-yard line to say that this is a Canadian Football League game.
And what about the changes? Are there going to be more?
It sounds like it. Yeah. Dave Naylor was on. He said there's probably before Grey Cup week, there's probably going to be another drop from the Canadian Football League on. And he says, and won't be insignificant. So I will wait to see what that is as we continue here on the Green Zone pregame show. But right now it's time for Britton Gray's player profile interview as he chatted with Philippe Gagnon in his second start back since his injury in training camp.
Philippe, how'd it feel to be starting again? You were the sixth man 2 weeks ago, starting last week.
I could. It's nice. It's fun. You know, it's been a long time coming. You know, coming here, signing here, I had every expectation to compete, do the best I could in camp and try to earn one of these spots. And obviously with the injury, it didn't go that way. So, you know, it's been a couple of months of hard work of trying to get back in there. And at this point, it's just doing everything you can to help the team. And I'm just glad I get the confidence of the coaching staff to, you know, be one of those guys to take the brunt of the work.
What was that rehab process like for you and kind of the grind of that?
It's, you know, the physical part's easy. Like, it's just going to the gym, you know, it's doing your treatment, it's all that stuff. It's what we're paid for. Like, that's the easy part. The hard part, I would say, is the mental part where it's sometimes, you know, you feel like you're good, you could push it a little bit more, but the doc's kind of tell you, you know, you gotta let stuff heal underneath the skin. Like, I know it looks good, but underneath there's a whole lot of scar and all that stuff, so you gotta be patient sometimes. And then when you finally get that green light, and then, you know, you just gotta be calm, just gotta have confidence that it is properly healed and you're good to go. And then you can't, you know, have that in the back of your mind as you're playing. You can't try to be protecting your injury, because then you're gonna get beat. So yeah, so the mental part is the biggest challenge. Unfortunately, it's not the first time I've had to deal with this in my career. So, you know, I have some experience. This would be the silver lining in all of this. And it's been a long process, but I'm happy at the point where we're at right now.
Did you know right away that you'd be back when the injury happened, that, yeah, this isn't the end of the season for me?
I mean, I knew I wanted to be back. There's always, you know, is a doc going to clear me? Are we going to have the cap space to book me back? You know, with all the season, all this administrative and medical side to it, like, I knew that's not my control. There's nothing I can do about that, but I knew that I was going to do everything I could to be ready and give the team the option to put me back in. And so that was really the mindset I had going in, is if I'm not coming back this year, heaven forbid, it's not going to be because of me.
What's it been like this season to watch this offensive line group, you and just a whole bunch of injuries this team has dealt with from the sidelines, to continue to push through and put together the season it has?
It's I'd say it's impressive. You know, as you said, there's been a bunch of injuries. There's been a bunch of different O-lines this year, even going back to last year. I mean, guys have been shuffled around so much. You know, it's hard at O-line to play with a new guy next to you every week. And I think it's commendable that the guys have found a way to work through all of that and, you know, play good, get wins, and show up on film, you know. So it's really, it's to be part of a group like this, it's really, it's incredible. And it's a testament to the work and their work ethic and all the work they put into their craft.
You're a Grey Cup champion. What does this team have that you see, yeah, they can do it this year, that this team has that championship experience, or what is it?
Experience is one thing, talent is another thing, and I'd say camaraderie is the other thing. Is you can have all the best athletes, if they don't play together and don't care for one another, I mean, it's you're not going to go all the way. And so to have these guys that have been there before, that know what you need to do to win it all, and that care for each other, and that make sure that everybody gets across the finish line, I think this is what makes this group special.
How important is it to get that West final here in Saskatchewan and play that final at home before going to the Grey Cup?
I mean, it's a huge boon when you have the home field advantage, especially this home field. It's incredible, you know, when it's packed and it gets so loud and you get pumped. I mean, it's a pretty big advantage for us, and definitely it'd be something that we want to work with. So yeah, it's to lock that in, like, you know, that'd be great.
That is Philippe Gagnon starting at left guard tonight for the Rough Riders. His kickoff is in about 20 minutes from now. Lights out game at Mosaic Stadium tonight. Meanwhile, who are the Blue Jays going to play in the American League Championship Series? Let's bring you up to date on the Mariners in Detroit. It is in the top of the third. It is Seattle leading 1-0 right now in the top of the third against the Tigers. But directly ahead, we'll hear from Joe Robustelli in the roster check on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All right, about 15 minutes away from kickoff with the Riders and the Argonauts. Lights out game, obsidian green jerseys at Mosaic Stadium. On a decent night, but a windy night. Wind gusts of up to 45 kilometers right now. Can I change my missed kicks prediction?
Might be a good idea.
You didn't have any missed kicks.
I know, but can I change that?
Too late, man. Well, I don't know. What are the rules? Belton, we could vote. He's stuck. Eh?
Jamie's the captain.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, I can do whatever I want. No, I'm kidding. It's already on the paper. Although I'm having a bad feeling about this with the blustery wind out there. We'll see. But a roster check for these two teams going into tonight. Let's start with the Argonauts. Nick Arbuckle shut down for the season. Jarrett Daigle getting the start, so Max Duggan added as QB3. Brandon Kemp on for Hampton Hergel at tackle. Sage Dockstetter is off at left guard, so Anthony Vandal comes on from right guard to left guard. And John Bossy moves into the starting role with Dylan Giffen backing up. Whitten McManus also out for the rest of the year. Isaac Darkangelo starts at middle linebacker, and the extra American spot taken by receiver Dorian Anderson. And they added a second long snapper for the Argos as well on their depth chart. Meanwhile, for the Rough Riders, Brett Lawther kicks Campbell Fair back to the practice roster. Mario Alford has returned as the return man. Sean Bain Jr. moved off the roster this week. Mitch Pickton is added back. He takes the spot of Malik Straker onto the injured list. Nafis Lyon, the Grey Cup champ from Montreal, free agent. He was signed, and he's on. Roland Milligan Jr. is off, so Redwine gets the start at half. And Dante Myers is injured, ankle injury, so Joe Robustelli is back on the lineup, and I chatted with him this week about the need to have to check your ego in the Canadian Football League when you're on the roster, then all of a sudden you find yourself on the sideline.
You know, with the CFL, you know, when you have a deep roster, you know, when stuff like this happens, it just kind of is what it is, and you got to keep your head down and know that at some point within the next few weeks your name can get called, and mine's being called right now, so you just got to make sure that you're ready for the moment.
So when you get the moment, again, as you've always proved, is how important is it to take advantage of it?
Yeah, I think at kind of the midpoint of the season, I think I might have been getting a little too comfortable. Maybe not, well, I wasn't playing as hard as I could, but, you know, I was still playing hard. But just looking back on it, like, man, I really should have been a little more locked in, because, you know, when you're in it, it feels like it'll never end. And then when that reality comes, it's like, damn, I wish I would have worked a little bit harder and all that stuff. So now that I'm getting this opportunity, making sure that I'm ready for it.
As much as you're all a team, it's still a job interview.
Yeah.
They have to put together the best 45, 46 for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. How important is this to get this opportunity?
It's definitely important. You know, it's definitely a weird situation to be in. It's like all your best friends in the wide receiver room. You guys are all competing against each other, so it's a weird situation. But you don't really think about that stuff. You just, you know, approach every single day like, you know, not like it's your last, but approach it just with the mentality of, you know, today's we got to go 1-0, just like we always talk about, and just make the most of it and stay locked in.
How deep is this room, though? Like, when you look, like, Sean Bain Jr. is not playing, and you, there's so much. Dante's hurt, yes, but how much talent is in that receiver?
It's odd. I mean, to me, and I feel like everybody in there, we all believe that we're starters. So, you know, you look around, and obviously on the field, you know, when people go down, the next man is up. It's that guy comes in and he produces. So it's just a testament to how hard we work and our coaches and everything. But, you know, we got a lot of talent in there. It's pretty wild.
What about this year in general? You know, getting the opportunities you've had and doing the things that you've done. If you look at the whole picture, how proud are you of how this has evolved this year?
There was a moment when I was just kind of standing out there when we were doing walkthrough. I took a moment and like was just it like flashed before my eyes. It was super random and just kind of was thinking about everything that's happened to get to this moment. And, you know, it's surreal. This was something that was such a far-fetched dream. And there were so many people that kind of asked me, like, what are you doing? You're pursuing a football career after not playing for 12 years or 26 years old. Like, what are you doing? And, you know, to see it all come to fruition and everything, you know, there's moments when I just kind of look around the stadium and get emotional and stuff like that, because it still feels like a dream sometimes. Like, these are things that, like, I used to just sit in my room and just think about all the time, like, how do I make it there? How am I going to make this happen? And there's a lot of self-doubt that comes with that and all that type of stuff. So to be here and to play in these type of games and, you know, it's amazing.
That is Joe Robustelli back on the roster, of course, number 82 for the Rough Riders.
Cool thoughts. Yeah, for him, right? How hard? Because he's worked really hard to get where he is. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you know what? When you keep talking about next man up, not necessarily. It's next man up if you're Canadian or next man up if you're American, right? Because there's certain spots that are assigned to a Canadian or to an American. So he might be one of the top two or three guys on the team. But because of the way they've got the ratio distributed, mm-hmm. that he doesn't always get to play, and that's tough. You found that coming up here, didn't you? It drove me nuts,
Daryl. Right? It drove me absolutely nuts.
Yep.
Because I didn't think it was fair, but again, the rules are the rules, right? And I even remember with the Todd Cats, it was me, Jimenez, and Brian Simmons, and Bell Fay. You know, he had all three of us, knowing that he can mix and match and pull, and like, I don't know. It sounded good, but then it was like, no, I want to play, man.
Yeah, like that all the time. You got to mix an American in with a Canadian, mm-hmm. right? So that's how it goes, and that's what Robustelli's learning it. But it's tough to take, and you've told me that a few times, Belton. So just a reminder, when Robustelli is sitting there waiting, thinking he's pretty good, and he is, but he might have to wait his turn for an American spot to open up.
Yep. All right, let's get to two more bold prediction questions. Our final one, but first. He's back. So is Mario Alford. So catches, yards, and longest play for Joe Robustelli tonight. And how many return yards for Mario Alford total? He averages 146 between punt, missed field goal, and per game.
You think they've woken
and his longest?
You think they've woken Alford up because when he came back, he wasn't much. 146 is his average.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 112.
You're going 112. What's his longest return?
30.
And Joe Robustelli catches yards in his longest play.
3 yards, 60, and 34
yards.
All right. Return yards, right?
Mario Alford, total.
Oh, man.
Averages 146 throughout the season.
And Darryl's got 112.
112.
Huh?
He hadn't played very
well.
I'm going
to go 100, man.
100 yards?
He hasn't been very impressive.
What's his longest return?
Longest? 25.
Joe Robustelli catches, yards, and his longest play.
4 catches. 72 yards.
Longest play?
Let's go 21.
All righty. I'm going to go with Joe Robustelli. I'm going to go with 3 catches. I agree with Darryl on 3 catches.
Oh,
I'm going to go 40. 15 is going to be his longest. And Mario Alford, I'm going 135 today. His longest return will be a 40-yard kick return. Saw it last time. But now our final score prediction. I've already said mine a bunch. 30-17, Riders. Belton, what say you?
I had 30-20, Jamie.
30-20, Darryl Davis.
Riders, of course.
Yes.
Okay.
33-23.
30.
No, you got 10. You got a 10-point spread. 30. Let's make it a little closer. 33-25.
Ooh. Argos or
no, for the Riders.
Yeah, but it's a lot of points for the Toronto Argonauts. Yeah, but we shall
they might
see.
Get a lucky return or something. Right?
Yeah, so, you never some weird fumble thing. Who knows?
I might get in a running gun. Who knows? It's that type of night.
Yeah. A windy, blustery one out there at Mosaic Stadium. Enjoy the game, everybody, on TSN. It's about to kick off. And, of course, you know where to find us. Right when that final whistle sounds, we'll crack open the mics, open up the fan line. And, of course, we'll be right back here with the Green Zone post-game show in about 3 hours from now. On the home of the fans, the Green Zone, 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.